You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are on our last episode for Kylo at Work. And we thought we would bring in one of our employees.
Yeah.
And maybe, Christian, give a little, like, intro. You used to do this.
Yeah. Welcome to The Kylo Show, the podcast where you talk about.
See, so you've heard him. Now you get to actually meet him.
Totally. Oh, it's good to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for coming all this way.
Uh-huh. I know. A whole door down.
Yeah.
It's fun. I hear it happening all the time. Yeah. I'm always on the outside looking in. Now I get to be in the studio.
Yep.
Super fun.
With us.
FOMO's
you
over.
You don't usually get to be with us at this table.
Totally. I just hear it when it comes out like everybody else.
You know what we have to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Christian is our executive director here at Loving on Purpose. So in a sense, we're working for him.
Yeah.
It's scary. It's kind of how this really
he tells us
out.
What to do. But yeah, so I thought bringing you on here, we've had all these other guests on talking about their cultures and what they've worked to create and different things. And I am the longest standing employee of Loving on Purpose. I have, unless I quit anytime soon, no one else will take it from me other than you. Mom pops in and out. I don't know how to categorize mom's employment to Loving on Purpose, but
probably just kept the clock rolling the whole time.
That's all right. But, you know, so this culture and my upbringing culture kind of all blend together. But you are probably one of the people that you and Ashley are probably the ones that we've hired where we didn't have any relationship really or context for what you did. How you're here started with an email. So I think you should share a little bit about how you got to Loving on Purpose.
Yeah, super fun story. Uh-huh. So you had no grid for me and I really had no grid for Loving on Purpose. I live in Sacramento and, you know, me and wife were church hopping looking for a church. And 8 years ago, we land in JC Sacramento and we're looking at resources and I'm just a personal growth junkie. Mm-hmm. I love growing. I love learning. And family has been something that's always been super important to me because, you know, I loved my childhood growing up. And then there was some not so fun stuff that happened. You know, divorces and some crazy times and hurt feelings and broken relationships. And it was one of those things where I was like, I don't want that for my family. I need to go learn and figure this out. And so keep your love on, read the book. I'm like, I really like this. This is cool. And, using the tools. And then fun thing is that you're leading like a young marrieds group at JC Sacramento. And we have mutual friends. So the church that my wife grew up in, one of your friends said, hey, I know this couple. They could maybe help teach the class. I'll vouch for them. Yeah. I remember the requirement was 5 years. You wanted people to be, you know, we're doing young marrieds, like be married for 5 years. And I'm looking at Bree. I'm like, we've only been married for 4.
Are we going to lie?
Yeah, we must have needed a lot of help. So we did. We were like, hey, it's only been 4.
But I think lowered the standard right out of the gate.
Boom. And so we jump on that team. You and Ben are leading it. And it was so exciting. You know, it was a big step for me and my wife. And to be able to, you know, it's funny because we're helping facilitate the class, but a lot of the material was new. So we're in the back of the room, like writing a bunch of notes. Like, oh my gosh, did we do this? Like, we did not do this.
We're going to talk about this at lunch.
I still remember this. I did not know what to do with the, and DTR. The opening line was Danny saying one of his main goals was to help couples not get married.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd never heard anything like that before. It was
Can
weird.
You have that as a goal?
And I remember
as a pastor?
I remember this is my honest, I remember thinking, if that guy tried to keep me from marrying my wife, he had a problem. But as I've, you know, been
you
around.
Thank me later.
Yeah, totally. It's so cool. So fast forward a little bit and my background is fitness. You know, I was a personal trainer, exercise physiologist, fitness management, fitness sales. I was working for a medical practice at the time. I got into business development. I was working my way up the company and, really cool job. You know, enjoyed it, but the culture felt funny. I was taking all the stuff I was learning from LOP and trying to implement in my own culture. And it was rough. And I remember coming to my wife after getting a word in January of 2020, I always get my, you know, word of the year. And I told Bree, I said, hey, God told me to sow my job. And I go, it sounds like to me like I'm going to be leaving. And my wife's like a 5'6" on the Enneagram, super high C. She's kept our family alive. Thank you, Bree. Like I would have killed this a long time ago. Yeah. And her response was, do it. That was scary. It went from me going, I'm excited, to me when she said do it with no hesitation, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to go do this.
We're going to die.
So during this time, though, I had sent an email off to you and Ben and was like, hey, Sherry spoke with Zach Curry and they did
at
like
church or something.
Yeah, but church was like Impact Week or something. And,
for the
and
city or something.
Yeah, they
like
brought
that.
A bunch of different nonprofits and they're basically the message was like, you don't have to start this whole thing. You can actually go partner with somebody who's doing something that makes your heart come alive and just join with them. And I remember going, dude, helping with Loving on Purpose was so fun. Like, that is so fun. Like, so I had sent an email. I was like, hey, Brittany, I know I'm helping with this right now, but if Loving on Purpose needs help stacking chairs or whatever, but I also felt this in my spirit to say like other skills that I had. It was like, hey, I'm learning digital marketing, business
which
development.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah. And so I tell my boss, you know, the owner of the company, I said, hey, I'm leaving. And she goes, who took you? And I said, nobody. I don't know where I'm going. So I'd love 90 days to figure it out. And she's like, Christian, you have a plan for every conversation you're in, let alone like your life plan. Like, and she
are
goes,
you pregnant?
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying to tell me?
Yeah. And then I was like, you know, they knew I was a faith guy. I was like, no, this is what the Lord said. My wife's on board. That's what we're doing. She said, okay. And I remember talking to Sherry again. So I'm now me and this conversation started.
Yeah,
so
I moved it along.
Yeah,
like,
you're. Brittany's prodding along. And then, you know, because I didn't share that information yet. And I remember talking, I zoomed in. I was talking a Zoom call with Danny and Sherry. And Sherry asked me, how much time do you have to volunteer? And I was like, well, right now, not a lot. But in 90 days, I might have like 40 hours a week. And so, moral of the story, Danny, I remember him looking at me in Zoom and talking and said, hey, I know you're jumping out of a plane and pulling that parachute. Why don't you just land here? Mm-hmm. And that was like the day after I told my boss I was leaving. So it's like, God is good. And I've been here and it's been amazing.
Yeah. And you started officially your first day, or really kind of part of the interview process, was the day of shutdown in 2020. I think you came to our board meeting.
It was during the board meeting.
Yeah.
The end of the world. Armageddon.
In that you were kind of making a pitch because we were trying to figure out if we're hiring you or what was exactly going on. I remember Bob was asking all these questions. The world is on fire outside. And I'm thinking, what are we doing?
What are we planning?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
And then you officially started in like April or
Yeah, it was like end of March. So I'm coming up on my 3 years here. So just, you know, we're going to talk about culture here too. So I come to the first day, official day is like the annual meeting. You know, meeting Bob, meeting Eric's first day on the board, meeting board, you know, so I'm meeting all the people. You know, I really haven't spent really any FaceTime with Danny up until this point, or Sherry, so they're new to me, so I'm still a little like...
You came through Ben and I.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm comfortable Ben and Brittany, I don't know the team, you know, Danny still and Sherry still feel like Santa Claus to me a little bit, you know, so it was wild. But we had a room at a hotel, not just me, but my wife, my kids, anybody that we wanted to bring. We had these gift baskets full of LOP gear and swag. And it was one of those things where it's like, what is this? Like, at this point, I had not experienced hospitality like this, you know, or wasn't expecting it. My first day on the job usually is, you know, like, here's the company rules, read it by yourself and you know, figure it out. And here's the HR person. It was like, wow. And just to go into a big board meeting and the team was all awesome, get to meet them. And it never felt really awkward or anything. And it was fun to see how everyone planned and, you know, where we were going after. And this idea of all these dreams, when we were talking about it, it's still fun. They're all so big. And that's one thing in 3 years that I'd say the culture has done to me here is I dream way bigger than I ever dreamed before I got here.
Which you like to dream.
Yeah. So. It's crazy. You know, it's like what I thought was possible. It's like, you know, so listening to everyone kind of say, this is what we want to go after. And this is what this is what makes our heart come alive. And I was like, oh man, I'm really going to have to grow. Cause that seems, I never thought that big before. Mm-hmm. So it excited me though. Cause going back to executive director now, The way Danny said it one time, I mean, he was like, you're the director of execution, which is this idea of like, I make sure the things happen. Cause that's, you know, that's my gift mix. My skill set is like, I love seeing these big things and then say, okay, I think I know how to build this. Like, here we go. Let's go get it done. So it was pretty wild. That was just me coming, you know, me coming to LOP was pretty wild. And like I said, it's been a super fun 3 years. Yeah.
It's been pretty fun.
That was quite an entry.
Yeah.
Jumping off of a cruise liner onto a burning ship. Like, what is happening here? Because we were hurting. Came in with some low-hanging fruit ideas. You and Eric got together, and we saved the day. So we felt like geniuses right away. Right? Yeah. We're like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a superpowers that we know not of. Yeah.
I think the other dynamic that was so funny I've been the only one that was married with a family. So having another person that's married with a family, obviously Ben, but it just was a different dynamic. And then having another guy in the office was a different dynamic because you had all these girls. I remember in our first office, when we moved to this current one, you're like, can I have a door?
Totally. Sherry's like, dream list, new office. What do you want? I was like, I'd like a door. I want a door. Love the team. Yes, it's more about my ADHD.
We all just talk and go. And got to lock away in the closet.
The two guys have a door.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's really funny that Ashley has a door now, too. Yeah, but it is
technically the biggest office.
She does. Yeah, she's just like.
And the smallest.
It's a mega. She didn't have a mega desk, but she's got a mega office. So, but one question I have is, you know, you went from leadership position, lots of responsibility, work culture to, at first you didn't have that, but you have that now in your current role. What is the biggest contrast between the two environments?
Oh man, it was huge. You know, Danny mentioned, and I came in, and right away I saw opportunities to lend some of my skill sets. Like, and it really was just an opportunity of like, wow, they're not doing this. I can help do this pretty quickly. And so the team, I felt like you felt some of my operational strength, which was awesome. However, like when you come to work here, the culture is, you know, this is the hot lava core, you know. And what was funny, and I always tell people, is like, I was the best Kylo guy I knew. I read the books. I remember going into a meeting with my old boss and going like, okay, keep my love on. Here we go. I was doing all the things and people were coming to me. Like I was the guy like, hey, I'm having a tough time. You know, I was the Kylo man.
Expert.
Yeah. Kylo man. And so I'm coming in here, you know, I was still like, you know, I have two young boys and third one on the way, but I use a lot of sports reference and I was like, you know, I took my boys to the bike park and they had done some stuff on the smaller thing and, you know, their confidence was up. So, but they went to the bigger park and you got pretty scary, pretty fast. We get some crashes. And that's what was happening to me. It was like 90 days in, I couldn't really discern what was happening, but I just felt like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing well. I'll never forget. It was, you know, me and Danny started a little earlier than everybody. And we walk into the old office and Danny just happened to be sitting on the table and I was checking in with him. And I said, hey man, I'm not doing good. And then he goes, I know, I've been watching you. And I was like, first I'm like, you jerk.
Just let me drown over here.
But it's like, okay,
throw
going
me
back
a rope.
The culture, it's like, to be honest, I thought it was like, pain be the teacher. He's observing, he's trying to figure it out. And the two things that he said that was super helpful was, you have two yous. I've been watching you. You have two people here. You have work Christian, and then you have who you are Christian. And he goes, I'm me all the time. You're going to have to figure out how to be you here. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I do. I have professional, you know, polished me, you know. And that's where I was coming with a disconnect, you know, with here at work. Where everyone was powerful people and they're who they are. And I was like, why aren't you talking like this? Or why are you, you know, it was just so, so crazy. And the second part was going back to, I'm a, you know, two with a heavy three wing. I was feeling really less than in the area of my knowledge of really, you know, keep your love on, loving our kids on purpose. We came in and you know, my oldest son was having some new behavioral things that was wild to me. And I was like, what is happening? So I felt like, you know, the guy who was, you know, just starting out, because I was. And
I normally swing a pretty big bat.
I'm at the ninth hole. I'm in the ninth hole on the batting order. I mean, that's what it felt like. I was like, I never bat ninth. And I'm batting ninth here, you know?
This is not good.
Yeah, I'm on the bench, actually. I think they took me out of the lineup. And that was another thing I'll never forget where Danny looked at me. He doesn't remember telling me this, but he said, it's easy to be the healthiest person at a leper colony.
Yeah.
And I was like, ouch. And it didn't feel mean.
That was
mean.
An all-star where I came from. Yeah,
totally. Totally. And so that was going back to like what I love about culture here is like I was getting feedback right away. Like I right away I felt safe. You know, it was fine. I remember telling Danny in that conversation too is like, you know what? I only feel actually myself, that thing you're talking about around Brittany. And he goes, I noticed that. It's like, because she's, you can be you around. She's a friend. And so, you know, you have to figure out how to do that with everybody. So I kind of went to work with, okay, how I'm going to have to be really intentional about one, humbling myself and going through and just ripping through all this material and eating it up and trying to learn and get good feedback. You know, I remember we had Brittany and you and Ben came over with mm-hmm. my Joe, my Josiah, mm-hmm. my, I love him. But he was having some tough stuff and we're like, help, you know, and here, there you go. They, you know, drove the hour to come to my house and spent the evening with us, talked it through with me and my wife. And so going back to the hospitality, the generosity and like the living it, my favorite thing to tell people, you know, that people who know Loving on Purpose, when I meet them and they say, what's it like working at Loving on Purpose? Or what's it like working with Danny or Brittany or Ben or Sherry? I go, it is what I thought it would be. It's what I thought it would be, but it's actually better. That's my favorite thing. Like, they are who you think they are, but better. Mm-hmm. And that's been my favorite thing to tell people, and it's been an amazing experience. And
well, that's why we had you on the show.
Yeah, I know.
Just so you would say something like that. Yeah. Something along those lines.
Tell everyone how awesome.
Cross off my,
good
off my
job.
Lines.
Okay, yeah, next yeah, question. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, there's some things, though, at the same time that I remember a conversation, I think it was Bob said, you know, because you were actually thinking about exiting pretty early on. You were like, you know, I got other places to go. You know, I don't know that this is working. And there were some realities that we weren't, you know, like. Yeah. I remember Bob saying something like, well, you know, you get in there, you look under the hood, and all of a sudden you find out, oh, it's not what you thought it was going to be. I mean, there was kind of a tension there between maybe the culture being real and challenging, and at the same time, there's some aspects about growing this bad boy that look like Mount Everest.
Yeah, yeah, totally. You know, I know Bob was on, I think, a couple episodes ago. And yeah. Bob's, I talk with him monthly or frequently. He's awesome. But my first conversation with him, you know, Bob's an eight, you know, and I got Scary Bob my first time.
Yeah.
And which is like totally not him. You know, he's like,
which is funny now. Since,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I remember you being a little afraid of Bob.
You know, I show up to Tribe. Like, you guys had just finished the Loving on Purpose conference, mm-hmm. and that was in January 2020. And I showed up to Tribe. It was like, you know, the gathering of the people. And, you know, Bob, you know, they say, hey, go meet Bob. He's on the board, you know, and everyone, I'm still getting vetted. And I remember he just leaned in, kind of hiked his pants up, and he's so staring at me. And he's like, just drilling me with questions, and he has zero like emotion,
empathy.
Yeah, it's just
zero empathy.
Yeah. I'm like, what is happening? But you know, I've been around people like this, and I go, okay, I'm just gonna go toe to toe. Like, I'm gonna mirror, and I'm gonna go, I'll just answer how I thought, you know. And I still remember when he shifted. He said, "What's your goals for the future? What are you trying to do? Like, what do you dream about?" Time, and I was like, it had something to do with my wife and my boys marrying, you know, amazing Christian women. And I saw his shoulders roll back, and he was like, you know, going back, this three business guy, you know, he's like, I'm not really worried about that. Like, we say this here, you know, I get reminded a lot of time we've hired since we hired culture and character first. And I think Bob was drilling in to see the culture and character piece, you know? And then, you know, going back to flinching, you know, about a year and a half in, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to get out of here. Cause I think it was really part of this conversation, this reconciliation of me and learning also to become a powerful person in this environment and not just here, I'm here to learn, because I am here to learn. But so I had to figure out how to bring back that arrogance in the beginning bring it back as confidence of, hey, no, actually, there is some stuff that I know, and I need to figure out how to be me here and actually raise the bar here on some of these areas. Mm-hmm. Because I remember, you know, going on, I felt a disconnect from the big dreams on the board and some of the things that we were doing to get there. In my mind, I said, I don't understand why we're not doing this stuff. And then I was also kind of going through this swirl of, I like talking. I have lots of words. Where, you know, most of my stuff was becoming operational. So, you know, I just didn't know what to do with it. So the last person I wanted to tell first was Sherry Silk, because she's an ops person too, you know, and she's a six and she thinks about all the things, which keeps us alive, like my wife. And I felt so safe with Sherry so quickly because it reminded me of my Brie. And I tell Sherry, like, she's saying, hey, I think we're going to give you some more responsibility. And I responded with, I don't do that. I think I'm leaving. She's like, she handled it like a champ.
Until she got home.
Yeah.
That to was me, a different story. She goes,
okay.
What?
And,
glad, you know, she handled it well for you.
But the awesome thing about going back to this culture is, like, there was two conversations I remember. One was about a 3-hour walk, it felt like, with Brittany.
Wasn't that long.
Yeah, it was a long time.
I had Birkenstocks on, so it clearly wasn't that long.
He was like, what's going on? We got to talk.
Well, the weight of the world was on his head.
In the parking lot circles.
You know? And part of that conversation is like, help me understand what's happening. And also, here's some things you told me. Mm-hmm. Here's some things you know, talking to me, like, there's some things you told me, Krishna, what you wanted to do here. And, you know, what changed? And so, it was challenging because I had to kind of go dig inside and go, am I running from something?
I think I told you I was pissed at you.
You did.
I did.
Yeah, you told me you were mad.
I did.
And we do have a kind of like a sibling relationship. It was funny because at first when you told me you were mad, I'm so not used to it still. I remember laughing. Am I going, huh? And then you were not laughing. I was like, oh, I better adjust. Like, this is not funny.
You don't really have sisters, do you?
No.
You don't laugh at a girl when she says she's mad at
you. Totally. Maybe that's why I walked so long. I was, But it was great, and you got to hear your heart, and I was like, oh man, okay, I wasn't thinking about this, and you actually helped me process some of why I keep saying I flinched, like why I kept saying maybe I need to get out of here. And the second part about it that is awesome that I've never experienced anywhere is like to go to your boss. Like I sat in the room with Danny, you know, it's like, hey, here's what I'm thinking, this is why I think it, and to get like, no, well, why are you doing this? Or I can't believe that, like, we've invested so much into you, or I don't know what I'm going to do. It was just completely like, all right. Well, because, you know, I was sad. You know, I don't know if I had cried in that moment, but this idea of like, I know I promised this, and I know I said I'd do that, and you've given me so much, and I feel so bad about leaving. And you said something to the effect of like, if I ever did anything to make you feel like you owed me anything for anything that I gave you, like, I'm sorry, which I learned was a similar experience that you had with an amazing mentor. And so, like, as part of the culture of, like, wow, I'm not getting punished for this. Like, what? You know, I'm not getting made feel bad about this. Like, what? You did ask me some questions, though. Like, hey, here's some things you should, you know, I'm wondering this. And I went and thought about it and took it to the Lord, took it to my wife, and ultimately, here I am. I didn't end up leaving. Yeah. But then I think for me, one of those resurgence, what I came back with is like, okay, what do I need?
Yeah.
What do I need here? And that came back with, I need more responsibility. I need more responsibility because there's some things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I don't have the authority to do them. So I remember saying to Danny, like, I don't want to be a father here, but I do want to be a man with responsibility. I want to lead something. And his response is, I'd love that for you. And I'd love that for us. Like, this was the plan. Sherry was about to do this thing with you before you did that thing. Yeah. And so that, you know, came with more responsibility, which has been great, and the executive director role, which has been fun and scary and awesome.
I think when that transition was happening for you, I think he had this conversation with you, but I know he had it with me, but he was like, can you handle Christian being over you? I remember, I mean, the Christian is in charge. And that's, you know, because I am the heir to, you know, I joke, I'm the heir to the kingdom, which is true. But my own personal journey has been that I will never be Danny Silk. I have so much of who you are, but I'm not ever going to be you. I'm never going to think the same
way.
We
don't need two Dannys.
Right. Really we don't. We don't. We've discovered this.
Once enough.
And I'm not, my gifting is not in the operation sense, in which I don't know that that's even where your giftings have been. It's always been delegated somewhere else. But I think, I just assumed that I had to figure out how to do it. So going through and I think the two of us with that whole kind of mindset of taking over the kingdom and then, oh, I'm not in charge of the keys. I might have a pair of the keys, but I am not the one that makes the call on whether we fight or not, though I would love to because that's just my personality. Yeah. But learning how to work alongside you and defaulting to you. Like we just had a meeting with a marketing team and one of the big shifts was to focus on something that's very much just about me. And in that moment, I am panicked. Like, I don't want to make this call. And I mean, I looked directly at you as soon as you asked me. I don't know if you realize that, but I'm like, Christian is the one that makes this call, not me. And I think that's the growth of our relationship and the health in it, in that I, just because I'm, you know, the daughter doesn't mean that I need it because I have such high value for what you bring to our team.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was a significant adjustment, you know, all of yeah. these dynamics, because, you know, we did have a particular path that looked a certain way.
Totally.
But when you gather powerful people, eventually there is an insistence in those agreements that we will add our best to what we're doing. And the rest of us will defer to your best. We all are deferring. And as a result, that composition starts to create something different than any would have by themselves, or just any with, you know, missing that element, we would never would have created what is going on. Right. And I think that it, like a family, like, you know, Kylo at work, when you activate a team of powerful people, the leader of that environment has to be looking for, how do we manage the change of this team, the expression of this team, instead of insisting that we stay the same, but with powerful people. Like, powerful people will change things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what married people are trying to figure out. How do we accentuate our tomorrow with our best instead of fight over who's going to rule tomorrow?
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a short break and hear from our good friend Charles about some really great resources.
As a listener of The Kylo Show, you know the importance of intentionally strengthening the relational health in your home. But as a business leader, how do you intentionally strengthen the health of your team at work? Well, unfortunately, many leaders end up feeling frustrated with people development because they either don't know where to start or they waste time and money on old, outdated methods that don't work. But don't worry, I've got a free gift that's going to help. I'm Charles Cowan, founder of the people development company GrowthStream, and we've discovered a simple but powerful four-step system that makes people development easy. And we want to give away our secrets in a free training video. Now, the GrowthStream program has been proven to increase employee engagement scores by double digits in just months. Plus, our program will work in any industry, including yours, and has been used in all sorts of organizations like financial planning firms, manufacturing, schools, automotive dealerships, medical practices, retail, even a Chick-fil-A. So if you're a business owner, HR manager, or leader and want to learn the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture, then go to growthstreamtraining.com to see the free video. Now, I'm not sure how long we're going to keep this video up for, so go to growthstreamtraining.com before it's gone.
It's definitely a, I mean, pride and arrogance could have settled in an entitlement that this is mine. You know, I've been here for the longest. I am the one that grew up in this household. Shouldn't I be the one that gets to make all the shots next?
And insecurity unchecked with feedback ruins tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm beyond grateful that, you know, Christian, you're in the role that you're in. I think you know, we've had some hard discussions around different things. And you know, the last season of my life has been, you know, mom got sick, totally changed my schedule. Mm-hmm. And then the kids, you know, shutdown mode, lent me at home. I was just doing all of that. And so you kind of came on and I really almost disappeared in my, what I was bringing to Loving on Purpose in a lot of ways. And so you didn't really get to see pre-COVID Brittany very well. And then we kind of started coming back in and then mom got sick and then I went back out and then trying to come back in again. I mean, that was even a tension place for us.
Yeah, yeah.
To not, I'm sure you were kind of mad
at me. But yeah, I wasn't ever mad. It was frustration because it was going back to, I remember telling this to you and even to Danny, it was like, okay, I see the talent. I see all the things she could do. And I know there's some things that are going on that are really hard. But going back to my three and I love winning, it was like, I see
the standard that you had started raising.
Yeah. It was like, I see an all-star who we are not utilizing, you know? So it's like, that feels not great. So how do we do that? You know, but it was going back to also, you know, we were shifting and we've talked about this a little bit before. It was like when I came in, there was also this, the whole company was during the shift of Danny travels and travels the world and speaks. And that's where a lot of people hear about us to like, oh no, like now we're doing a podcast and Danny's not traveling. And, you know, so there was this, all the, going back to, like you said, these shifts and these dynamics, we're all trying to figure it out. But the culture was, I'm going to stay connected to you. Yeah. I'm going to hold on. So like, yeah, there was some knockout, drag out conversations me and you had, but it was always like, all right, I love you. I'm going to say, yeah. I don't like you right now, but I love you. And I'm going to stay irritated. Connected. I'm going to stay connected to you. And we're going to figure that. I remember saying that a lot of times, like we're going to figure this out. And it does. It feels like we figured it out. Things are going, you know, feels like they're going well to me.
Well, I mean, we've had conversations, the two of you, where I think both of us are confessing, do either one of us need to leave to figure this out?
Yeah.
Because am I in your way to make Loving on Purpose greater and better? And I think that's, you know, you had the 3-hour walk around the parking lot conversation. And I feel like I had a 6-month, you know, meeting in your office trying to figure out what is it? What's the right combination? What is it? And it took a process of redefining and rearranging where I got to show up here that felt, you know, I was successful. And I think the patience in, again, identifying it and being willing to stick in the process, because I wasn't like I was just sitting on the couch eating potato chips. Really care. Just miserable. I wasn't powerless in it. I was frustrated in not knowing the solution.
Yeah, it was the I know it shifted, but I don't know what the new is, you know, because it's like if we both, there was the frustration of, I don't know what it looks like now. But so, you know, something we had to work through and we did, which was exciting. But I love putting our culture on display, going back to my experience of it. Like I've done stuff like that in other organizations and it just does not go that way, you know?
There's no priority. You're
telling somebody people, leaves.
Someone's leaving and somebody's, they're letting you know how they feel about you. It's not loving and connected.
Yeah. And I think this is also a part of why so many transitions of legacy and that sort of thing don't work, is because there's an expectation and really an entitlement mentality that won't adjust to the favor, the gifting, the way the organization needs to work. The one with the highest leadership lid actually should lead. Mm-hmm. And everyone should contribute to the team. And what classically happens is the one with the right last name ends up leading.
Totally.
And everyone else kind of suffers through it until they let go.
Yeah. You know, going back to experience the culture and now getting to help lead it, it was a really fun moment. We get this awesome new hire who's got like, who's a three. And all,
you love the you and her that you see.
I love the me I see in you. Yeah. But it was funny because we give her this, you know, this huge task and it's a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember we were having conversations in my one-on-one meetings, like, hey, how are we doing? What do you need help with? Where are you stuck? And there was this frustration that I could see before, like, because I just watched it, because it looks like me. I remember being there. And it was just this idea of, like, I don't know how to say this thing because I'm not their leaders. And I was like, oh, no, but you are in that thing. You've been empowered to lead in that thing. Mm-hmm. And you will lead me even in that thing. So I work for you when it comes to that thing that you own that you're the most responsible for.
Yeah.
I work for you. So if you need something done, mm-hmm. you let me know. If you need something done for someone else, you let them know mm-hmm. and give them a date and a deadline. And you have full permission to do that. And this idea of like what? Yeah. Like how? And then
I have authority that matches my responsibility.
Yeah, totally.
What?
And she, you know, she makes the adjustment, and boom, you know, kicking butt. Yeah, home runs all day. Yeah.
It does feel. I mean, you know, we always say, Dad, you've got the full stop to anything that we're doing. You might get some real hard conversations that we disagree, or let's, you know, yeah, but as you know, Sadie even talked about, I don't agree with the initiatives that we set out. And then Christian's the next in the chain of command. But I think one of the things that I've loved that I value, especially as the daughter and like the transition piece, and I'm going to probably be the next, and I am, loudest talking head for Loving on Purpose, is I've never felt like your position, Christian, do you are trying to be over me or minimize any of that process. So there's always been a invitation to partnership, but the same, like the example with Sarah, is that this is hers to own, which mm-hmm. means, you know, there's not just one leader. Like, it doesn't feel like there's just one leader and we all must bow to you. We all know where our strengths are, and we all know how to partner with one another. And we all know, like, I mean, in the studio with Ashley, we're like, Ashley, what do you need? Yeah. Ashley, what do you need? You know, Anna's trying to organize calendar. Anna, what do you need?
Yeah.
It doesn't, there's not this, you know, all saying genie that's the boss that we all are afraid of. We all know our responsibilities and our roles. And in that, there's just, we complement each other in the best way. And it feels, that's what makes our team really beautiful.
You sound like you're saying that we Kylo Five here.
Something like that. We really do try. That's for sure. I mean, I remember you and I have had hard conversations about Ben.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah.
to talk to me about my own husband, and I have to be willing to look at this as I love him more than anyone. And my high D protective heart wants to fight you on it, but I'm not going to do anything for him and what he needs to grow in, or what you need from, and to protect all of these relationships, if I can't be mature enough to look at this. And yeah. I think that's the beauty of all of our, like, we're practicing what we preach, which there's moments where we're not good at it, and there's moments where we've got to grow in it, and there's moments where we're all frustrated at each other.
Yeah.
But, you know, your newest question in our meeting is your favorite question.
Come on. Come on. So we started this, you know, new operational system at Loving on Purpose, and yep. We're the traction book. So, Gino, you can send me a check.
There you go.
We love it.
But one of the things they do is they have you rate the meeting 1 to 10. And I just loved how fast that got me.
Your three really
got
loved
me,
it.
Got me to a gauge of how it went. You know, am I winning or losing? And so I was telling Brittany, I was like, hey, I'm going to just kind of switch up my one-on-one meetings. I think I'm going to ask a question like, how are you doing 1 out of 10? And like Brittany does, this is my favorite thing, is I send something to her and it comes back like way better. And she's like, well, that might be kind of confusing. You should probably ask three questions. It probably should be, how are you and I doing?
Clarity, clarity, clarity. Yeah.
How are you and I doing? How are you and work doing? And how are they doing? And I was like, ooh, I love that. And so I turned it on her right away and was like, well, so how are you and I doing? And she goes, I don't know, a 10? And I was like, oh my goodness. I lit up.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. And I did it with every single, you know, one of our staff members afterwards, and I got tens all around, and every time the same reaction. And I forget who it was, but they were like, this is for you.
This is for you.
This is not for us.
You're like a cat. You just pet yourself on my leg.
But
yeah, I just thought it was great. I mean, that's the fun part of, I think, our dynamic, is that a lot of places you are processing how to move forward with the team, the connection piece. You know, you are definitely creating a standard of a work culture of getting things done, tackling scary projects. And I assist in the, is our culture maintaining as we're doing all these really hard things?
Yeah. And is it excellent? You know, we joke to like my favorite metric is, you know, like I value done. My value is it done? You know, which I'll sometimes sacrifice excellence or even connection or pass like for done. Like that's the dark side, right, of my of my strength. And so my other favorite thing to tell people, you know, when I tell them about where I work and I explain the culture, it always just blows their mind because we're batting 1,000. Like every staff member is incredibly healthy. Like you said, it doesn't mean that they're perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't step in it from time to time. So we go clean up our messes. We, mm-hmm. and to even have these tools like where we're doing, like we know each other's Enneagrams numbers and love languages and strength finders. So it's this idea of like, oh, we know we're very self-aware and we're also very others aware around us. Mm-hmm. So like for me, knowing that it's like, okay, I'm really good at getting things done. I'm a low C. So anytime I finish something, where are the C's at? Yeah. Please read this. Please look at this.
Yeah.
Click all of the things you need to click.
Yeah. I don't know how many times I've tried to like schedule something to be done and Brittany can be like, you know, I'd rather wait and do it well than to do it right now.
Hey, Christian, we need you to knock out a landing page real quick. Oh no. No, you don't.
I don't like that idea.
You know, when we're dreaming big, you know, it's we're looking at Danny. It's like, Danny, where are we going? Mm-hmm. What are we doing? What are we not seeing? Where's the pattern we're not seeing? What's the thing we're too close to
paying attention? We're going to put Disney in our rearview mirror.
Yeah, so yeah, he says stuff like
family influencer. Like, what? 50 years. That's us.
Yeah. Scaring us all, but at the same time, inspiring us all. And it's like, because what's scary about those is their challenge. It's like, wow, I need, you know, we did the dream challenge not too long ago, but it's like, okay, do I need a dream like that? And it's like, well, I might not be the one who maybe thinks of that, but I can use my gift mix and talents, because I can believe that, though. Mm-hmm. And I can figure out how to lend my strengths and my talents to making sure that thing happens, because, hey, I want the same thing, because we're going after the same things. And I remember my old business mentor said this, and it feels like it's happening right now, which is my favorite. And I was working and clearly not having fun because he stopped me in the middle of a work project. And that's what he said. He said, Christian, are you having fun? And I was like,
who has fun?
What kind of question is that?
Yeah. Who has fun at work?
Yeah. And he goes, man, he's, you know, in his 70s, pretty successful entrepreneur guy. And he's like, hey, the work is supposed to be fun. He's like, this is the work. He's like, I've started and sold multiple companies. And he said, don't get me wrong, getting check cashed is pretty fun. But he goes, it's really short. Like the work is longer. So are you having fun? He's like, you got to go find something that you believe in, mm-hmm. and then find people who also believe in that. And then if you enjoy working with those people, like you're gonna have a bunch of fun. Yeah. You're gonna have a bunch of fun at work. Yeah. And it's like, you know, Lop enters the chat. Here we go, right here. It's like, we all believe the same things.
Yeah.
We're going after it, and I really enjoy working with everybody here, and mm-hmm. here we go. That's when beautiful things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely been, you know, we were smaller, we're growing, and so we're going to maybe have to make some adjustments, but your introduction for me when you came for your birthday, you were only working for like 2 months or 3 months, and at that point, you know, we're still small, so who knows how long we can get away with this. But the shutdown of the world, new to the company, we're not really all in the office. And so we had to figure out how do we accelerate the communication that we value you here. We see you and we want to know you in such a short amount of time. And your birthday party for us, I feel like was just probably my favorite initiation of you into our world.
We hazed him through a birthday party.
We did. But he left every second of it.
It was not like hazing, though. Yeah,
it was the best. I mean,
it was wild.
It was all these little office innuendos of, you know, the show The Office, from the cake to the scavenger hunt we made you go
the banner on.
Banner
on the wall.
I mean, we can't undersell this because it was, because here's the deal. It was so over the top amazing. So I mentioned, I'm like, hey, when it comes out, I'm a huge Office fan. People in the office are Office fans too. I was like, okay, great. Here we go. And this is not a joke. I mentioned, you know, I've always wanted on my birthday just to have the sign that Dwight puts up that says, it is your birthday, period.
Period.
With like half-deflated balloons.
Half-deflated balloons. Yeah. I was like, if that happened, that would be so fun. And so on my birthday, you know, I show up and I walk in the office and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Tear. really, like emotional. It was like, oh my gosh, this is, they remembered. Yeah. This is like going back to going back to my bar of experience of people investing or birthday or, you know, or celebrating. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh my gosh, this is the wildest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Little did I know that was probably the smallest thing in that
it
day.
Was.
Yeah.
And your cake that had your name misspelled.
Yeah. We had a cake with my name misspelled. I mean, there was probably about 1,000, feels like 1,000, and that might be 1,000 different office references, like really deep references for super fans. I mean, there was a walkie-talkie in the ceiling with Rock and Robin. Yeah. I was getting orders, and Ashley was reading me things to do. I was on a scavenger hunt. I was around the office building shooting basketballs, finding secret letters. I had to almost fight a lady at a coffee shop.
Yeah, yeah.
She wrinkled that on her own. Like she just
fully leaned into it. Yeah. But your gift was inside a mold of Jello.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
You had
to take it out with your teeth.
That was that lady's ad lib too. Yeah. But we ended, I mean, again, the whole healthy families are going to save the world. I think you're the only other family, Leah, who's left us now, but she's developed a family, and we got to walk through them having their first baby and getting married and all that fun stuff. But, you know, so with Leah being kind of the second extension of family growing, but when you came in, you came with a family. And so I remember you met us at our house, and your boys and Bree were there, and we start playing basketball because, again, sports is mm-hmm. what you do. None of us. And your birthday's in July. It was stinking hot.
Yeah.
But I just remember I didn't realize, because, again, we've had all this fun, but I don't know that I experienced someone that had such an unfun or celebratory culture like you had. So when you just were at a loss for words because you had just walked into something that you had no idea.
Yeah, and we have video evidence somewhere. Someone filmed it. Yeah, because at the end
Leah
of...
Leah is the one that documents all the things.
At the end of all that stuff, and I probably left out half the things. At the end of all that stuff, you know, going back to even my wife, you know, 'cause my family being there, it was just like, oh... That's the thing that would have made this more special is if I got to see my family. It was like, how did they know? Like, how did they know? And I'm trying to like say something. Like, I can't, and I'm just crying. And, you know, it was so overwhelming. And I mean, I don't know what happened, because basically it feels like it turned into a tradition, because I've had like a game truck at the office with the pizza party.
We always have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
We're a celebration culture.
Yeah.
And I think it's...
32nd birthday.
Yeah, your 32nd birthday, yes. It was 30 seconds from the entire building we had recruited here. Again, everybody's 32. Had their own really fun ones. You had some unique requests in there, so that I think that's why you got more memorable ones. But I think to be known is what we all long for. You know, to be known in Him, to be known in fellowship, and to understand yourself. And so I think that's one of the big culture things that we are always looking for is God, self, and others. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that we're going through in lots of different ways here, but that's part of our culture is how do we get to put that on display where, you know, we are self-aware and others aware and mm-hmm. we are God aware. And that's, you know, all of these things, you know, you've helped create structure and help us just execute, you know, that over and over again in our culture since you've come, just helping us. Those are all in our heart, and Christian makes a system for it to happen and really helping everybody get into their right spot. So I'm really, really glad you didn't leave, and I'm really glad you did that email.
Thank you. I'm really glad I'm here on too. Now it feels like it's pointing them out like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say definitely that our excellence, our mm-hmm. efficiencies, our...
All of that.
You know, our level of professionalism to our get stuff done theme, like we've always got stuff done, but there is there's a excellence and efficiency to it that you definitely have added to us and, you know, hard charge us in. So we are feeling your strength and we are super grateful for Christian Zamora taking the lead.
Yep.
Thank you. Yeah, and it feels, in some ways too, it feels like we're just getting started.
We are.
We have really fun stuff coming out this year.
Watch out, Disney.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that is, we wanted to put on display all the different people that we know that are doing Kylo at Work, but also bring you into our Kylo at Work and knowing Christian's story and kind of the working dynamic, you know, even the transition of, you know, the leading heads and all the fun that's coming in there, we just wanted to put on display. So I'm sure there's questions, which is great. If you want to keep partnering with us, you know, donate. We love that too. Become a partner. But this has been a fun series, Kylo at Work.
It has.
It's been really fun. So thanks for listening. And remember that whole healthy families are going to save the world. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.